Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime To Go. What can I get for you?
Is this a secure line? Can I trust you? You know what? I don't trust electronics. We're going to get hacked. I'll just come and tell you myself.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime To Go. Jamie, it's finally happened. You've been really getting into conspiracy theories, and I think you finally have taken one too far. What are we talking about today?
I mean, it's a cyber crime. It's not like...
You're one of the most Dale Gribble-like people that I know in terms of like conspiracy theory beliefs.
I don't know. I work for a software company, but I don't trust computers. So maybe there's a problem with that. That's my day job.
You're on the inside. This is an elaborate scam.
Bum, bum, bum.
Today, we're going to be stepping away from the traditional true crime and diving into a little bit different kind of case, and one that did not take place on the streets, but like you said, in cyberspace.
It was November 2nd of 1988.
That seems way too early for there to have been a cyber attack.
Think about the movie War Games.
That's
with
exactly
Matthew
what I was
Broderick.
Thinking.
So that happened in the 80s.
How much devastation can you do in DOS?
A lot, apparently.
If you're under the age of 40, you probably don't get that joke.
The first known major cyber attack in history took place on November 2nd of 1988, a rogue program called the Morris Worm brought prestigious universities and government facilities to a screeching halt.
I have a computer program that I use at work that contained data that was entered in the 80s and very early 90s. And it's very rare that I have to log into it. But when I do, I feel like I have got into a time capsule.
Yeah.
It is insane. And I will tell you that I probably could have also brought down this system, but only by mistake, because it is just so primitive. And there's a lot of like functions to like commands that you have to enter. And I mean, was this actually an attack, or was it some guy doing his best? But
I think this
up?
Was an attack, but I'm right with you. I think I could do a lot of damage by just being stupid.
So who is the mastermind behind all of this, Jamie?
It's a 23-year-old student from Cornell University named Robert Tappan Morris. Let's go back to that night. Around 8:30 p.m., Morris unleashed this program from a computer at MIT. Within hours, that's the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, one of the most prestigious technical universities in the country. Within hours, it had spread rapidly across the network. Now, keep in mind, this was a year before the World Wide Web existed. The internet then was much smaller, and it was highly critical in infrastructure, and it connected mostly to government agencies and institutions of higher education.
I remember back in the day, my college, I mean, we had the internet, but then our whole campus was basically its own network.
Yep.
So that's kind of how I imagine MIT was working back then, that it wasn't the World Wide Web, which is www, but it was MIT's own network, but then I guess somehow they were able to connect to other government agencies and other universities too.
Yep.
So the file didn't, or the worm rather, didn't destroy files or data, but it did cause chaos. Systems were slowed to a crawl. Emails were delayed for days, and some institutions had no choice but to disconnect entirely. Experts estimate the damage ranged to about $100,000 to several million dollars in damages.
That's a lot in damages. I think now everything would just shut down and you just couldn't operate. Then I would think that's inconvenient. There are a lot of things they could probably still do. And it wasn't just the scale that was alarming. It did impact so many machines. But this is a really creative virus that was unleashed. It exploited multiple vulnerabilities, including flaws in the Unix operating system. One of its most effective tricks was using a weakness in the Finger program, which was designed to display information about users.
And to make matters worse, the worm wasn't designed to stop once it infected a system. It actually was designed in a way that it would replicate itself endlessly, which would then just make the overwhelming computer systems even more overwhelmed. So this was basically an infinite headache.
Yeah, and this guy, Morris, he knew he was doing damage, but I think he kind of panicked when he saw the scale of this. He immediately reached out to a friend and asked for help to anonymously spread instructions on how to kill the worm. But by then, all the damage was done. The FBI launched an investigation, and it didn't take long to trace it back to where this came from and to connect it to Morris. One of his friends had accidentally referred to him by his initials, RTM, during a call with the New York Post. And from there, it was only a matter of time before the truth came out and he came to justice.
In 1989, Morris was indicted under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. This was a law that had only been passed 2 years earlier. He became the first person convicted under that act. And while he avoided jail time, he did face a hefty fine, probation, and 400 hours of community service.
I wanted to cover this just because it's a landmark case, being the first cyber crime, the first major cyber crime that really was ever committed. The Department of Defense responded quickly, and they started putting together emergency protocols, steps toward cybersecurity infrastructure. And cybersecurity is a huge employment field now. People just coming up with new ways. If he launched this worm now, it would be killed in like a minute. But there are more and more advanced viruses now that can cause even more damage.
Jamie, I've been the victim recently of cyber attacks. So I say recently, it was last summer. If you remember, I was on vacation and was thankfully at the end of my vacation trying to come home when, I guess it wasn't a cyber attack, but it was a very bad networking error. And
okay.
Do you remember that? Like it shut airports down for days.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
I still think it was an attack, although they're just hiding it. So I guess now I'm the conspiracy theorist, but they said it was a programming error, but my God, it affected every major bank and airline in the United States and abroad.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that's currently like cyber crimes are at an all time high right now. And I think anytime you're in a situation and somebody asks you during a game of trivia, what was the first cyber crime? You can respond by saying the Morris worm.
Wow. Let me ask you a question real quick. So let's pretend like what happened to me last summer was a cyber attack. Like the main victims were airlines, right? Or banks. They probably lost money. They probably were hit. But then like, should I also be eligible for like, I don't know, what was it called when criminals have to pay restitution? It's restitution.
Yeah.
Should I be considered eligible for restitution? And what about the other hundreds of thousands of people who were impacted by that?
I think if those people were caught, they could do that. I don't know if the people were caught in that situation. I would also say that the airlines and the banks have culpability because they didn't take good care of your information.
Yeah. And they left me stranded in a place that I had no resources. So
yeah. Yeah.
That was rough. Insane. But anyway, I just think it's interesting. Like I was not the intended victim, but I was definitely a victim.
A lot of times we don't even hear about it, but hackers like this will ask for ransom and say, if you don't meet our demands, we will release all of your client data and get you sued and put out of business. And these things are paid off all the time without anybody ever knowing it happened. So
that's wild to me. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The more you know, that's what we're here for. This has been a crime story, a cyber crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.